It was 25, 26, and 27 together. 25. Whom God has set forward to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of our past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time as righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is neglect excluded. By what law? By the works? Nay, but by the law of faith. All right, verse 15. Who's the whom go back to? Who's the one who has an end? Barbara.
Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Who? Yeah, Paul.
Could also be not only for Jesus Christ, but could also be for the believers.
It could be, but the reference before that, you see, talks about in verse 24 to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the next verse would be whom going back to Christ Jesus in this particular context. Doesn't mean who got it. Set forth. What's set forth? Any hands on it? Set forth. After that?
Placed forward. Placed, put him in a particular position so that he would be able to be able to be a propitiation.
All right. He's put him in a particular, this way.
That's fine.
Particular position so that he might be able to save us. He's set him forth. Now, what is the last week we talked about that, but we just want to renew because we didn't cover the whole verse. What does propitiation mean? Any hands on that? Barbara?
Freely, without any payment at all, appeasing, placating, satisfaction.
Okay, Pastor Daniel, 72.
What's
that mean, sir?
Satisfaction.
In other words, God is satisfied. Now, do any Bible versions omit that word?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. NIV, other versions, they're just trapping. That's too big a word for that. You can't pronounce it, see? He's a satisfaction. Now, what does satisfaction mean? Hands on any hands on that. What does satisfaction
mean? Paid in full.
Okay. Satisfaction. In other words, with what is he satisfied? Any hands on that? With what? If I get 10.
The atonement made by Christ.
Atonement made by Christ. Whatever he paid the price for sins, died for sins. And now God is satisfied with us?
Yeah.
No, but with the price that Christ paid at the cross, dying for the sins of the whole world. And if we trust in him as our Savior to die for us, we can have eternal life. And so he's satisfied. Now, are people in this world, all of them, satisfied with the payment of Christ at the cross?
No.
No, they're not. Absolutely they're not. They don't want anything to do with Christ, especially the cross. Paul?
Yeah, people don't want to hear the name except when he uses the name for blasphemy. You know,
blasphemy, right? Yes, cursing. That's good, that's right. Set forth appreciation for faith then. So now sir, what is the answer that gives satisfaction appreciation in verse number 25? Any hands on that? What is it that gives satisfaction? Barbara?
Faith in his blood.
This is what? 10? That's it. Through faith in his blood. Now what happened to this blood? What kind of blood is it? And why is that satisfying to the Lord God of heaven and earth? And the answer to that. Okay, the faith, go ahead.
Sinless blood.
It's sinless blood. Is anybody else's blood sinless in this world?
No.
No, not the same one of us. We got wicked blood. And now, when at birth, who do doctors say gives the baby his blood?
The male.
That's right, Barbara.
Bob.
That's right. The Father. Now, did the Lord Jesus have a human father?
No.
No, he didn't. Who was his father?
God.
God the Holy Spirit was his father. So that's why Jesus, through the incarnation, could have perfect, spotless blood. And that's why he could die shedding his blood. Now, in the Old Testament, what was blood for? What did he use blood for in the Old Testament? Any answer to that? Yeah, right?
Yes. The sacrifice of the blood.
Okay, and Paul?
Could they also use for the burnt offering?
For the altar, yes, 10.
It was applied to the altar and to the Ark of the Covenant, and it was applied to the veil, sprinkled on the veil 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was to purify the priests, and it was also to purify the people from their sins.
Mm-hmm. Barbara?
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission.
No remission. Now, what do some people teach about the blood of Christ? It's false.
Some believe it's a method for death.
Okay, what's the man that used that term?
Dr. John MacArthur.
What does he say Resident for what? Resident for what? Let's answer this first, and we'll get there. Go remind me of the medicine. Hello? Rob Winograd from Chicago.
Thanks for having everyone. I just wanted to bring that into appreciation.
Okay.
And I just want to let folks know you can look that up as Luce Sperry Schaefer's Systematic Theology, Volume 3.
Okay.
And on page 134, he explains redemption, reconciliation, and propitiation. And redemption is toward sin, reconciliation toward man, and propitiation towards God.
Very good, Robert.
Propitiation is also just within the sphere of relationship, which exists between God and the sinner. The propitiation contemplates the larger necessity of God being just when he justifies the sinner and Christ as an offering, the sacrifice of the slain, through God meeting every demand of God's heaviness against the sinner, renders God righteously propitious towards that offender.
Good.
So it deals with us, but it also, it's the satisfaction of God. But if anyone wants to look it up, it's in Volume 3, Jesus' Systematic Theology.
Good. Well, thanks a lot, Rob. Let's wave to Rob. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah,
Rob. Okay. That's very good. So, appreciation and redemption. And was what did the blood of the slain animals in the Old Testament point to? Any hands on that? What did it point to, actually?
Sin.
Well,
it was a payment for sin.
Payment. And what else did it point to? You have Pastor Dan and then Barbara.
To the cross. It's a picture of the cross.
First by Barbara, then Tammy, then Fawn.
Barbara? I'm just putting my sweater on.
Okay, Tammy, go ahead.
The perfect Lamb of God that was going to be offered.
All right. Right.
She was putting her sweater on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello. Dave Romer. Oh. Yes, Dave, go ahead. Texas.
Hello. Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Hey, have you heard of a guy named Rob Winograd?
Yes.
You heard of a guy? Okay.
Very good.
He showed me something here in Acts 20:28. Says, take ye therefore of yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
So God the Holy Ghost in Luke 1:35, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost and right conceived.
Yes. That's right.
1:35 says, and being the man that is in the air of the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost, also being God. God the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, that's right.
The blood of God himself, then, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I just want to, besides that, say, I just want to say hi, and I
want
to
ask Pastor Dan, can we come to that class in September?
Yes.
Yes, that's fine. You
can
do that.
Sure. You can come in person.
Come in person. Come in person. Come in person. Come in person. Sign up. Go ahead and see you.
So I'm going to have to bring them all.
September 9th. That's when it starts. Yes.
7th.
September
7th. September 7th. Okay. Thanks. Let's wait, Rob.
Jacob.
Good to see you. All right. So, getting back to the offerings of the Old Testament, the blood, what does that blood represent? Any hands on that? Barbara?
The shed blood of Christ.
The shed blood of Christ. A picture of the Lamb of God, the one that should take away the sins of the world. How often was the blood shed in the Old Testament? Any hands, Barbara?
Every day, twice a day.
Day after day after day. How often was the blood of Christ shed? Yes, Barbara?
Once for all.
Once for all. Every repeat. What does the Roman Catholic Church say about how many times the blood of Christ pictorially distributed? Ten?
All the time.
All the time. Hundreds and thousands of times. See, it's blasphemous, really. The Mass, they speak, that speaks of the blood of Christ and the bread of the body. That's so very important. Right, so verse 25, bishops with faith in his blood, perfect blood, sinless blood. Have you ever heard of
this? No, thank
you. Okay. Now, to declare his faith, who's the his referred to here? In verse 25, any hands on that? I've heard, Joanne?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ's blood. To declare his righteousness. How do we define righteousness? Any hands on that? Where do we find that? No hands? Yeah, go ahead.
Without sin.
All right, and where do we find that? Where do we find righteousness? In the world? Where? And hands? Yeah.
The standard of righteousness is in the Scripture, and the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect righteousness.
Yes, he is perfect righteousness, and we find righteousness in the Scripture, how God defines what he considers to be righteous. And does the world agree with God on that?
No.
No, he does not. Now, his righteousness for the remission of sins. Remission means what? Remission. Any hands on that?
Removing?
Yeah.
Does it mean removing?
Yeah, remit. To remove. To pay back. All right? Mitzvah is to sin again. To sin again, to pay back. The remission. It makes the thing something is remitted, it's gone. So you pay something and it's remitted, that means it's forgiven. Is it? That's your name?
Yeah.
Yes, Joanne?
No, I wasn't answering.
Okay. When hands are to the face, I think it's a hand up. Okay. So, the remission of sins that are past. What do you think that means? Any hands on that? Remission of sins that are past. Yeah, Joanne?
Any time we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us of our sins, he will forgive them, whether they're past or whether, you know, we can also say to him, I know I'm going to sin again, but I want you to forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Past, present, future. Sins are forgiven, but fellowship with the Lord must be, going back 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we have God, he's faithful, he does, he forgives us, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But sins have been forgiven for every genuine Christian. Past sins, present sins, even future sins, forgiven. But fellowship is a day-by-day situation. We must apply 1 John 1:9 to keep fellowship. Yes, right.
And you don't have to go to a priest for forgiveness of your sins.
A priest, a pastor, a rabbi, nobody. You go to the Lord himself. That's right. And since around 1 John 1:9, if we confess, what does confess mean in that verse?
Say the same thing. Agree with God.
Say it, except
don't agree with God.
Yes. Well, God has to say the same thing about our sin that God says. That is, it's sinful. So you agree with God that we sin. Thought, word, or deed. If you confess and just talk about it without agreeing with God that what you've done and said or thought is sin, it will not be forgiven. Fellowship. It will not give you the cleansing of that particular thing. But if you do agree with God, what I said and thought and did is sin, and I agree with you, Lord, he is faithful and he's just in forgiveness of sins and in cleanses you all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. So, propitiation to faith is but to declare his righteousness, remission, forgiving, taking away the sins that are past. Now, what does this last phrase mean? By the way, before we do the questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-908, give us a call or comment from us. What does that last phrase mean? Through the forbearance. Okay, what's forbearance in hand in it? Forbearance. Go ahead, Elaine.
It's got toleration, patience, and self-restraint.
Okay, read it again. Toleration.
Patience.
Self-restraint. So, forbearance. God, in other words, if we're forbearance, we just wait a while before we blow our top off. Forbearance. Yeah, 10.
What was that statement that your mother said?
Well, Mom said she wants you to understand that she has, on one foot she has for the
bear. And then a forbearer.
Oh, that's a shame. Bear one then.
In reference to patience?
So I guess.
It's long-suffering?
Long-suffering. Thank you. When you walk it, one's bear, one's forbearer. You've got to bear it, and then you're forbearing. You just take patience instead of blowing your spank over something and being very angry. All right, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. So that's to the forbearance event.
It reminds me of, is it 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, you know, that's the forbearance of God, because it could be that he wants everyone to be saved. So
that's right.
He's waiting.
He's waiting. It'll all come. And then the verse number 26. To declare, what does it declare mean? Any hand on that? To declare. Right?
To make known.
Make known, President.
To proclaim.
Proclaim. In other words, God wants everybody to know this, that in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has declared, given your faith in Him through His blood, everybody can be made righteous. That's to declare. At this time, what does He want to declare at this time, verse 26?
His righteousness.
God's righteousness. Not to declare. He is righteous, righteous God. No injustice, no unrighteousness within him at all. And then the next phrase of that, what does that word mean? That he might be just and justifier. What does that mean? What does just mean in that sense? Maybe just. And 10?
Perfectly righteous, fully,
all right.
In all that he does.
All right, all he does. Absolutely just. And what does it justify mean? The answer to that. Justifier. That's him.
One that justifies him.
That's right. One that justifies. See, he's just because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, that atoned for all those sins, especially those that trust in him as their Savior. Those that don't trust in their Savior, it's possible to be just of that. But they're not declared righteous for those sins. They haven't trusted Christ. He's the only one. But if we do trust, genuine Christians, he is just in what he does, but he's a justifier, one who justifies the sinner, makes the sinner as if he's perfect and holy and righteous. So he's both just. Why is he just? Why is it just for God to forgive sinners? Any answer to that? Why is it just, Paul?
Because he's holy and righteous.
Okay, why else? Say that. 10.
Because he sent his son to be the propitiation for
sin. He sent his son, and his son paid for the sins of the whole world, making provision for everybody. Does that mean everybody is saved?
No.
No, they've got to trust that provider, the Lord Jesus, the one who made provision for them. And then he can be just and justify to those who, what kind of people should justify? And declare righteous. Any hands on that? In this verse number 26. Oh, Barbara.
Which believe in Jesus.
Them which believe. What kind of belief? Oh, sure, go ahead.
It would be continuing.
All right.
Yes?
Well.
Who believe it?
Yes, believe, yes, but continuing. And what does that mean? What kind of belief is in the hands of that? Okay.
Heart belief.
Heart belief. It has to be real. Don't just say, I believe, and that's it. Just don't use those words. If your heart and your whole self doesn't believe, Lord Jesus died for your sins, you're lost. That belief has to be genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As a belief, is he just and justified by only certain people? Now, does that mean that he did not make provision for the sins of the whole world? Does that mean he doesn't make provision for everybody? Any answer to that? Does that mean God does not provide, make provision? Pastor Dan?
The provision is made. He puts up to people who want to accept the provision or reject the provision.
Okay. Dan, Barbara?
Well, he made the provision for the world. God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for everybody.
But just because he made provision...
Not everybody has it.
Everybody, does everybody have forgiveness of sin? No, the provision is there. So you must accept it. That's Paul.
You have to... It come with a willing heart to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life and mean it and ask Him to forgive you. He will, mm-hmm. But you have to come. You have to come and ask. Come before Him and ask Him.
Trust Him. Genuinely, that's right. Remember an illustration of living. Remember, you talked about, if I said I'm going to give you some dollars. Did you say that?
Or yeah, if I were Bill Gates. Hey, I'm Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And I'm telling everybody in the room that if you come to me and ask me, I will gladly write you a check for $1 million. And you have to believe that I have that money in order to come ask me for it. I give you the check. You can now put it in your bank and you can write checks on it. But not everybody's going to believe that I have that kind of money, which is true. But still, it's the same sort of idea.
Yes. Now, to believe that that's the scripture and accept it, that's real genuine belief from the Lord Jesus. All right, then 25, 6, and 7. We're at 27, isn't it? What is not to be a part of this salvation situation, verse 27? Okay, Barbara?
That is the thing.
What is boasting? Anybody define boasting? Hands over there. What is boasting? What's that?
It means element of works, and bringing on not of works. We're not saved by works, plus any man should boast. It's nothing that we can do. And say, well, I've done all this, so therefore I'm entitled to this salvation. Mm-hmm. It's all based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, not upon what we've done.
What are some of the synonyms for boasting?
Bragging.
Bragging. Sam? Bragging. Boasting. So we should not boast. Now, we're very happy if we're saved and a Christian. Barbara?
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise kindness, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Yes, that's good. Questions at bfbc.org or 856-261-901 if you give us a call or comment, I'd hear from you. It's excluded. Boasting is excluded. That says by what law of works? But by the law of faith. How would you interpret that verse 27? Any hands on that?
Barbara? Not with my own righteousness. I can't do
anything. Okay. It's excluded by law of works. But what is boasting excluded?
You can't buy it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that I deserve it. There's nothing that you can say that is going to make it that you're worthy of it. Mm-hmm. It's a free gift that we get, and we have to accept it that we're not even worthy of it. That's you know, boasting. You can't say that anything that you've done or how you look or anything makes you worthy of this gift.
I'm worthy. Can't boast. Not of any law, but law of faith. Faith is the only thing that gives you.
Well, I have a couple questions. Number one, if you, not, you know, they say if you pray, I know God knows your heart or anything, but if you say, ask him, like, for if we ask him for forgiveness for not praying to him properly or anything like that, if you know, you mess up and everything, is it proper to ask forgiveness in that way?
Yes, but the way of scripture, I believe, Paul, would be 1 John 1:9. Let's say 1 John 1:9 again. If
we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So, what if we confess? What do we say that again?
Obligate.
Agree with God that these things. God is faithful and he's just to forgive us. See, that's 1 John 1:9, the way both the forgiveness get us back into trouble. I said, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness and cleansing both are part of that 1 John 1:9. So that's, I think, what we have to do for our forgiveness. Lord. No boasting. 25, 6, and let's read verse. Just a minute. Hi, Jacob, in Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
And God did.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Let's pray again to Jacob and Jacob in Texas. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Yes.
Yes. Excuse me, before you go into the next verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, there's nothing. It's not of works. There's nothing. We have no wherewithal to boast at all, because it's all by grace, his grace.
Created unto good works. When does that creation take place?
The new birth.
The new birth, when we're genuinely saved, because the Christ is our Savior.
No,
let's see first. Okay. Jim Carter. Oh, Jim from Massachusetts.
I passed away through Bible study. Goodness, this morning. I just want to say, some people, I guess, they front load the gospel, and some people back load the gospel. And some people say, well, you have to repent of your sins, then Christ will save you. No. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he died and shed his blood for your sins, was buried and rose the third day. The moment you believe, God declares you righteous. He gives you his righteousness. I believe it's irrevocable. He never takes it back. And then the Holy Spirit lives in you that moment. He gives you power to turn your back on your sins and all that. But it's not. Some people front load it. Some people backload. He says Christ plus this, Christ plus that, Christ plus all this stuff. So to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and you declare righteous. The moment you believe, because of what Christ did, that he satisfied and propitiated, he satisfied the Father for all your sins. And our part is like that, Jacob just told a story about that black guy. His part, he was a sinner. God's part was he justified him. He did the same thing. That gives God the glory, I believe, his grace did it.
Right. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much. Let's wave to Jim Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, over there in Massachusetts. Right ahead. No, we had a question somewhere before this.
By what law? I mean, some people think that he keeps the Ten Commandments, or that it seems like in the context of this passage, there were those that were trusting in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and there are people today that they're trusting in the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, or I'm keeping this or that command in the Bible. But, you know, it's not of the law either.
Mm-hmm. In other words, not justifying by the law, but by works. But by faith, I think that's
right.
Right.
By what law?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
The law of faith.
All right, we're going to read 28, 29, and 30. Have we read that yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's read. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, who shall justify the circumcision by faith, and not circumcision through faith. 28, 29, 30.
Should we read
the 2?
We read three.
There's
one more verse in the chat.
Oh, let's read the one last verse. 31. Do we then mistakenly void the law of the faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Alright, so in verse 28, we conclude. What does conclude mean? The end of that. We conclude after that.
Finish.
We're finished. This is our end of that. We understand. And what is the conclusion in verse 28? The answer to that? Yeah, 10.
Well, this is sort of the summary of everything that went before.
All right.
Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Simply by faith. And what kind of faith is that? How would you define saving faith? The answer to that? How would you define saving faith?
Relying on Christ for salvation.
It's got to be a genuine. Is that right? Some people say things. Does everything people say necessarily mean what they say? Say what they mean? Pastor Dan.
The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm. It must be genuine faith. It must be.
And then not of yourself, it's the gift of God. It's not of works. Something that you supposed to be recorded that earlier.
Yes. Barbara?
I have a note here in my Bible that says, faith is the moral commitment. It is belief of the mind, submission of the heart, and obedience of the will.
That's good. That finds it very strong, very faithful. So we conclude, justified by a genuine faith of the heart, not simply the head, without the deeds of law. Can the law deeds save anybody?
Well,
no question, go justify by the law. And then in verse 29, we get into who the God is. What is the God of, supposedly? What group of people in this verse? Any hands on that? What group of people God is, should be the God of? Yeah, Tammy, question.
Well, God is the God of the Jews, of Abraham, Isaac, mm-hmm. and Jacob.
There is only one God, right? It is not Allah, right? Which is the God of the Arabs. It is not Buddha.
Yeah.
He is the God of the Jews,
yes.
The God who gave us this Bible.
Mm-hmm. And who else is the God? Who else?
Who else is the God of the Christians?
Yes. What does this verse say?
I'm sorry. What?
What does this verse say? It's the God of the Jews. What's it? Yeah. Who else?
Oh, and they're all the Gentiles.
Gentiles too. That's right. Some of the people argued about translations for the Islamic people. And some of them had concluded, and I've heard this, some theologians have said, whether it's Allah, whether it's God, that's why we'll put Allah in there for the Islamic people. That's false. What is Allah like, and what are some of the characteristics of Allah? Why is he different from our God? Anybody know anything? Yeah, Allah?
Love is never mentioned in the Quran. Never. And God is love. So mm-hmm. if Allah is God, then he would have to be love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but Allah was born. I mean, he wasn't.
That's right.
God was always here. He was the creator of all things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they can't say that Allah was always there, right?
Exactly. Did Allah die for the sins of the world?
No.
No. And Barbara?
Allah was one of the 15 bazillion gods in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
All Muhammad did was make Islam monotheistic and choosing one God mm-hmm. to worship. That's all he did. Allah exists, well, as a God, in being worshipped by pagan people, existed for centuries before Muhammad ever came on the scene.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
We got a call in this from Steve. I'm just going to call back Steve on the other the mobile phone number. I'm sure you have it.
Linwood? Yes.
Oh,
Steve. Linwood. Call back. Linwood, yes. Well, Steve, on Thursday, we're going to make it, but must have something happened. So he's going to call back,
So you should call back on the other number if you can call back.
Was it questions at vftbc.org or call us, Steve, at 856-261-9018. Can't you mind?
What makes Allah any different than Zeus, than Neptune, those gods? The gods of the Greeks, the gods of the Romans.
He's not.
He isn't.
It's the same difference.
Right. Right. Hold that line until we get this one. Yes, Henry and how does Henry?
Randy.
Okay, go ahead. From Canada. Yeah, Randy, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you the discussion on works.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Well, thank you, Randy. Where's Randy from Canada? Where's Randy?
Emory.
Emory, too. Emory and Randy. Professor
Jen. Of note here says, hello everyone. This is Rebecca Powell from South Carolina. I'm checking in to say hello. As I attend your Bible study virtually. In regard to Romans 3:26, Jesus being the justifier makes me think of Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good. Rebecca and Robert from South Carolina.
Oh,
Dave. Thank you very much. We'll wait for you. Appreciate that. Yes, you just waited.
Yeah.
Now, what book did Allah presumably write?
Muhammad wrote the Quran.
That's right. Allah didn't write it. Muhammad
wrote the Quran.
Now, one of the strong teachings, I have Quran upstairs. I've read through, glanced at the whole page, all of them. I put down and looked down the pages of very serious things. But one of the things that's taught in the Quran, kill all the Jews, kill all the Gentiles, the Christians, and kill all the Muslims who don't agree with the whole thing and follow us. Does that sound like the second kind of the Bible?
No.
Does God say, kill Christians, kill Jews, kill people who don't agree? So there's all kinds of, but they don't bring that up, see? All these Muslims today, they haven't read their own Quran, see? They don't know what it is. So they think it's all fine and good. It's horrible, it's wicked, corrupt. So he's the God of the Jews, the God of the Gentiles, and Gentiles would include all different other people, right? And religion, anything, whether it's Muslims or whether it's Buddhists or Shintoists or whatever. So he's the God of all the people. Does that mean that all people are saved?
No.
But he's the God for them. Say, look to him and trust him and take care of him, but he's not the God that saves all of them, no. Universalism.
God Elohim, in the beginning, God Elohim created. Mm-hmm. So he's the creator. He's the creator of all people.
Yes.
But he's only Lord of his children.
Yes. Creator, the Lord of those that are saved, and you're Christians. And then, in verse 30, one God, how many people can he justify if the people meet the requirements? How many people in this verse number 30 are able to be justified if they meet the requirement? Any hands on that? Yeah, Pastor Dan and then Barbara.
All.
All. Barbara?
Uh-huh.
All. In other words, one God which shall justify, declare righteous, the circumcision by faith, uncircumcised through faith. So they have to have the faith, the genuine faith, in order to be justified by genuine faith in Christ. Pastor Dan, and then Mark.
Hello, I'm listening to the PM Bible study this afternoon. And a question about the verses, this verse here, verse 30. The question is, the verse states, circumcised just by faith, which is ek, and then circumcised just through faith, which is dia. There's difference here in words, so I imagine the difference in meaning. Can you explain the difference for the Jews versus the Gentiles by versus through. It's by, I guess, day versus, or rather, ek is by and through via. Mm-hmm. By versus faith, by versus through. Thanks, Rebecca Howell from
That's great, Rebecca Howell, yeah. All right, okay. The through and the by is by means of faith, and the ek out of faith, out as a result of faith. So it's very similar in the meaning here. Ek means out of and from. The sense of the source is faith. By is through, the means of genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be genuine faith. It's got to be proper faith. It can't be just, I believe. And that's why it's wrong, I think, for people to say they pray the sinner's prayer. That's all that they're saying. They can repeat any kind of words, but that doesn't mean they're genuine in their faith. Yeah, Barb?
I'm going to go back to this one God a little bit, please.
All right.
This concept, which goes back to the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is a unified oneness, not an absolute oneness. All the other translations, when you go throughout Scripture and read, they talk about the one, and it's not God. Because I just recently did a study on this, and when Scripture talks about the one, it's when the King James talks about the one, it's always the Holy One or the Righteous One in reference to God. So what they're referring to is what the Buddhists consider when you die, you become one with everything, because it's like a pantheistic sort of thing. So the other translations are teaching about this oneness, this unified oneness, because everything is made up of the same substance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's real important in this day and age as to what's going on, the difference between the Holy One and the One.
That's good. Let's wave to Rebecca Howell and Dave Howell and then something. We didn't wave last time she asked the question.
Well, I did.
Oh, you waved. You said hi. Okay. All right. So that's verse 30. Through faith or by faith, ek out of for the source of it, and dia the means of through, which are two words that mean the same. If that's Steve, he can ask his question. We can talk. Go ahead, Paul.
Excuse me, Dr. Wade, could you... My bus is supposed to be here anywhere between 2:32 to 3:12.
Okay.
I estimated 1:52 to about
1:58. Are they going to honk?
Yes, sir.
Tell them to honk and be sure to come on Dale Hampton. That's good. That's good. Well, Bill, with his eyes in the back, he's going to be able to look here. He's a good looker.
I'm looking, all right. I'm hanging the spider.
But now, in verse 31, the last verse, to then make void the one. Is that Steve again?
Yes, I'm sure, I suppose, yes.
Is he going to call?
I mean, he's thinking about answering.
Okay, because he can relate his comment.
He says he's listening, that's all. He's listening, watching, interviewing.
Okay.
Steve is the way it passes.
He's listening. Yeah. Okay, here he is. Steve Lindbergh. Okay. Hey, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Steve Lindbergh. Go ahead. We missed you Thursday.
Yeah, I'm watching that at the live stream.
Good.
Great.
That's good.
Has it been played already?
What is that?
Has it been recorded already?
No, it's just being recorded now.
John 3:16,
is this live streaming play? Okay.
Is that the one you're doing? Is that the one you're doing now?
No, we're doing a live Bible study in the book of Romans. This is live, and the others are recorded. See? Do you have any comments or questions, Steve? Go ahead, call.
I just tuned in now.
Sure, good. Well, glad you tuned in. Come on, Nick, when you can, Sunday afternoon, Thursday.
Robin,
I'm
sorry.
Good. Strongly
on
the box.
Okay, that's Romans 3, and the last verse of Romans 3, Romans 3:31. So give us a call and give us some comments on it if you wish to. Okay? Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's just wave to Steve. Steve, Torah, which is another word for what?
First five books of the Bible.
First five books of the Bible. The Law of Moses. Law of Moses. So, do we make void the law through faith? And he has on that. What's the answer to that question? Barbara? I mean, should it be
Tam?
The answer is
no.
The answer is no. Tam? Barbara?
May it never be.
Could never be. In other words, the law is for the Israelites. What did the Israelites prove to God by what they did with the law of Moses? What did they prove to God by what they did with that law? Any hands on that? Pardon?
They established.
They established what?
The law.
Well, what did they do with the law? What did they prove?
They broke
it. They broke it.
They
built.
Yeah, they couldn't follow the law.
They couldn't follow. Damn.
They proved that they were sinners and that they weren't able to keep the law.
Right.
Was there any human being on this earth? Human being is able to keep the law.
No.
But the only one who could, if that's it.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is a human being. He's perfect God for a man.
Yeah, but wait, I mean, exclusively human. No exclusive human. But perfect God and perfect man, he was the only one who could. But did he want people to continue to keep the law?
Yes.
And did he want people to keep the law of Moses?
Yes. Thou shalt not kill is one of them. We don't want to keep that one.
The law of Moses has such. All the different, the whole Old Testament laws. He wants to keep the whole Testament law of Moses. Well, that one is repeated in the New Testament.
Right.
He said, I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. And he did fulfill it. And that's the rest of it. See, in other words, how many of the Ten Commandments? He quoted one. That's like, how many of those Ten Commandments are brought over in the New Testament?
Nine.
Nine. We do keep that, you see, but right. The law of Moses, I said, is the law of Moses exclusively the Ten Commandments?
No.
How many other things, how many other books?
500 total.
5 books of the Lord, but there's full 39 of the Old Testament. See, that's the law. Now, there's a transitional period. The Lord Jesus was here, and then the book of Acts. But after a while, what happened? What change took place? Sam?
The Bible was completed.
And then, what were we to do in the fall? Exclusively, no intermediate state. Right?
Well, the one that's not in there is to keep the Sabbath day.
That's right.
The only one that's not...
Oh, the Ten Commandments. That's right. But, Pastor Dan, it's like...
Well, greetings. This is from Pennsylvania. Hello to everyone there. Appreciate the good Bible study. Julie.
Julie, I didn't get an answer for you by your phone for the hymn. That's why I didn't have a hymn for it. I'm confused. I think I have 3 phones. I got 3 phone numbers. I got a new phone. Pastor Dan thought he would give it to me because he did because of other things. And he put in all these phone numbers, and your particular name has 3 phone numbers. I called all 3, seemed like nothing worked. So please give me an email what the proper phone number is for you. I couldn't get through to you last night, so therefore I didn't know what your hymn would be. So pardon me, thank you for calling. Now repeat what you say again, Pastor Dan.
She said she's enjoying the Bible study. She appreciates it. Let me read it one more time here.
Okay.
She says, greetings. Hello to everyone there. Appreciate the good Bible study, Julie.
Very good. Let's wait for Julie Manahan there. Philadelphia. Thank you very much. Not Philadelphia.
Here.
Pennsylvania. Yeah. Permission, Julie. Come and see us. And try to give us on an email what your best phone number is, because you have 3, I think. I think several of them are no longer used. So thanks very much. All right. So we're talking about the law of Moses. And we're not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Under grace. And when did grace begin? Any answer? When did grace begin?
At the cross.
At the cross of Christ. That was grace. As I say, there's a transitional period. Some of the Gospels, you don't know that it refers to the law in the book of Acts. But then after that, starting with Romans all the way through, completely separate under grace, and nothing with the law of Moses. You don't sacrifice to anyone. Sorry. Yes. Rob Winograd. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob. Hello?
Call again,
Rob. Yeah, his name appeared, but apparently he called before, maybe he forgot to call again. Call again if we come on, Rob. We had to do that. So, we make void the law to faith. There he is. Try him again. Give you one more chance, right? Oh, yes, hold on, Rob. Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I have just one quick comment about what Sister Barbara said about honor doing wrong and which was under the God and that concept of blood. The cross was that also appropriated that concept. And I'd like to know more about it, and it's in the book I have, and I've been looking for it. I can't find it yet, but it's by Dr. Slagler, Jane Slagler.
Uh-huh.
And the cross was something that did incorporate that idea of Jesus as one, and it's really an unknowable God. I'll try and bring it up next week.
Good, I appreciate that. Okay, that's Wendy Rob there in Chicago.
Hey, Rob.
Appreciate it very much. Amen. All right. Any other comments on this chapter 3 before we move forward? Okay, let's read Romans 4, 1, 2, and 3. We'll stop there and pick it up next week. Let's just read the 3 verses, right?
What shall we say then that God is in
the covenant? We remember this proposal of the flesh. That's God. For if Abraham were justified by the works, he has always the glory, not before God. For what say the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Pick that up, actually. Do you have any comments before we close? Comments? Question? Shabbos close with the word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for the book of Romans, for Paul writing it, led by the Holy Spirit, giving us all these facts and figures and documents and definitions of righteousness and holiness and propitiation. All these words give us a knowledge of them, and Lord, all those of us who have genuinely trusted our Savior, keep us faithful unto thee, bring us back on Thursday for Bible study, and continue to use us in thy kingdom and for thy cause. Help us in our lives to be righteous and holy and filled with thy Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in all that we do, all that we think, all that we say, and everything we are. In Jesus' name we ask you.
Amen.
Thank you for having me.